Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us. Deeply Rooted, Season 1, Episode 5. I'm super excited to have my man, Sean Approach Hunt, legend in the building with me, man. This show really isn't about, like, music, or it really isn't about career, you know, or your professional accolades. This is really about, like, what is it inside you that keeps you going for 21 years? You know what I'm saying? It keeps you moving and keeps you still motivated and passionate. Like I really want to dig into that. So we're not going to get much into the music, but can you at least give me, you know, a rundown of, like, your professional history and, like, you know, what you've done as a professional?
21 years I've lived in Lawrence, Kansas. And, you know, I made this music from my room. Never, you know, had a big budget or any sort of budget to do anything. And all these things have happened just from the wonderful community, friends, family, engineers that I've had around me, and the support of, like, the community. That's done everything. So a kid from Kansas making music in his room has gone to Europe 7 times, man. That's all blessings, but you know all about it, man. You know all about it. You've had very, very similar travels where you've been in some legendary moments, just being a cat from Kansas making beats and rhyming and just loving it. And then where it's taken us has been you could have never imagined it.
Man, for real, man. And, you know, before we get into the actual interview, it's something that I want to talk to you about, right? Because I think it's, especially for me being me, you being you, this is something that we can actually talk about, right? And it's the fact that there was always a invisible line in the local hip-hop scene. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of you guys over here and us over here, you know, and I thought about that, you know, I've been thinking about that, you know, just, you know, the last week when I knew I was going to interview you, you know. And do you remember the Lawrence.com or LawrenceHipHop.com incident with me?
Right? Man, because homegrown was the one, like.
Okay, always. Well, I wanted to tell you this story, man, because it's funny to me, right?
All right.
And it kind of epitomizes this divide, right? So, one day, this is pre-social media, so this is probably 2000, 2001, right? So, LawrenceHipHop.com was a forum where a bunch of these guys were conversing and speaking and talking about hip hop, you know, and well, I stumbled on it, and you know, there was like there was a conversation of who was the best MC in Lawrence or who was the best producer, and I'm reading these names, and I'm like, I don't know any of these people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and at first, my first reaction was like, because, you know, I've been doing this, you know, since.
I remember this.
95, right? So I jumped on there, and, you know, I might have been a tad bit aggressive, but I was protecting my baby. I always call this scene my baby, right? I feel like, you know, that divide was always there, but it's like, you guys are more about the purity of the art, right? And, like, really trying to push, you know? And it seems like over here with us, these dudes, like, they, like, you know, they're chasing trends. They're trying to get radio play or trying to get in the club. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different path, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there was never beef, right? But it was just you guys stayed over there, we stayed over here, you know. And so, I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, and as you remember, I mean, you saw me in the studio. I was over there. I always just did what I wanted to do, and a lot of that stuff. There's cultural differences in some of that, not with us versus you or anything like that. It's just like some folks on the forum come from a different side of hip hop, and it was newer to them. I never really saw it as at the time, universally, it was underground music. Like if your stuff sounded a little raw, or if it was like super about bars or poetry, or you know, theory and things like that, then you were automatically labeled underground or by what you chose to listen. But I came to listen to me to make, you know, production with live. It was just, it was who I was going to rock with. But a lot of the back and forth and arguments on those type of things, you saw, I never chimed in. I never had anything to say because I didn't see it that way. I saw it as, first of all, a lot of us were young and unseasoned. Yeah. And so it was a lot of young and unseasoned people creating something and communicating amongst their pocket. But the spread was bigger than the little pocket that, you know, thought they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And so, of course, even as an elder statesman now, you know, if something like that existed, and, you know, people, for them to know, there's no Twitter, there's no sort of social media. So,
yeah, no.
You know, we're connecting with people all over the United States in a little form. And that's how, like, OK Player and all these kind of things were. So, you know, when you're speaking on something and all parts aren't being represented, of course you're gonna feel a certain way. I would feel now. I would be like, man, I've put my foot down in the sand, and I've carried this beautiful community with me everywhere I've gone.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's doing something or saying something and they're just missing out on what we've done because we're old heads or we're this or we're that or whatever, you know, I'm gonna speak on it. At that time I'm coming from Kansas City, so you know, I don't even know outside of like Johnny Quest and the other, you know, who was from here, but the other folks, a lot of us were transients. Miles, who was one of the people who started it, he's from New Jersey. Yeah. So there were steps missed, and then the divided music sound at that time, whereas like, I mean, if you had any sort of like polished sound, you automatically got put one place.
I know.
And if you had anything that sounded like a four track or a hiss or a dirty sound, you automatically got put in the other place. And as you know with me, man, from the first time that we actually got to chop it up and you actually got to see what I was about, man, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm pretty universally just a nice dude, man. I don't let anybody that's not talking directly to me, I don't let any of that affect me.
Well,
and then when I got to actually meet you and build, I knew what time it was. And I knew what time it was when you were saying the things you were saying, because I mean, I think I remember like Mac Lethal and Approach could never be stars. You'd have to tie even with rocket ships to their back. Those dudes could never be stars. And I'm like, I can't get mad at somebody's opinion. I was like, well, who knows what's in the card, you know?
Well,
I'm pretty good at what I do, so we'll see what happens.
You know what's funny about that is like, I look back and I laugh because it's just, I was young and, you know, I had so much passion for what I was doing, right? And,
absolutely.
You know, then I look at where Miles, like, grew to go, you know? And like where Mac Lethal, like at one point in time, this dude had the number one viewed YouTube video. Like, he had the most views at one point in time. Like, that's just crazy because, like, the time, that particular time, even if it was us doing what we were doing or you guys doing what you were doing, like, there was some really special talent in this town, in this certain little small pocket of time, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I just kind of wish I could go back and, you know, kind of tap into that a little bit differently. So, anyway, let's move on. I was listening to the album you just dropped today. I was trying to get in the mood, right? And you know what I realized, bro?
What's that?
You're my favorite Lawrence producer. Like, you are. Whoa. You are, man. You're crazy, bro. Like, crazy. I love that Joe Good record. Oh my God, Joe Good is my guy. And like, yeah, that was one guy. Like, I had him on my album, bro, right before he retired. That was one guy that I was like, man, this dude is phenomenal. So it was good to hear him.
He's the one, man.
Yeah.
Yep. That's family. That's family, man. And okay, we all knew it then.
I mean,
we knew he was the one.
Undeniable. Like, so, and then just to think that, you know, everybody else, because even like to see where Quest is at now and like how far he's come, like, it's just really dope, man. So I just, man, hats off to you, man, for your discipline and dedication, man.
Man, that means everything, man, because I definitely, when I mentioned like, especially from the time period in which we were doing it, I mentioned my mentors list. I mean, you slide right in there with Jock Max, you know? And it was like,
crazy.
You know, Big Key support. But like, I learned a lot from you guys by listening, paying attention. Yeah. And like, you know, people that most, you know, harking back to what you had just mentioned about the divide. It just was, people didn't have a chance to sit in space and communicate. And I remember a lot of the Bomb Scott cats, man, like, we would do a DJ night at the Gaslight and cats would come out and we was connected, you know, cause we're playing everything that cats are listening to. We're listening to the same stuff and with our little underground stuff. And so, and Skew had a Monday night with Lynn and they DJ every Monday night at the Gaslight and man, rest in peace. But you know, Vital was always there, like, you know, like, and we always got to post. And so once we all got to be around each other and Big Keith was a big questing Keith, were a big bridge to that. And once we all kind of got to share that space, we realized, man, we were all pushing for the same thing. It was just different parts of the recipe, man. And I really appreciate the production comment, man, because that's probably like where my heart and soul is in music. I always wanted to, you know, just make the music that I rhyme to. And I was surrounded by a lot of talented people, so I focused more on MCing. But, you know, over the last 12 years, I've just really spent time learning music for myself, and I try my best with every project just to work another one of these old pieces of gear and try to see what I can get out of it and then bring in the musicians or play a little bit on top of it myself. So that really hits home, man. I appreciate it. And man, you are a monster behind those boards, from the engineering to the production. So you know, you know what's going on, so for your ears to tell me that,
you I'm
hold that with me for life, bro.
Yeah, you earned that. We dropped for a second, but I'm recording this whole thing, so no matter what, we're good.
Yeah.
So, outside of professional, first question, who is Sean Hunt?
I'm a family man. I'm a son. I'm an older brother. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a cousin. I am a person you see in the community that cares about the community. I'm also a black man in a state where people that look like us aren't, you know, we are a card. So I always try to opportunity every meeting with that. And share that and break down their preconceived notions of who we are and let them know that, like, the more rooms you put people like me that look like us in there, the better off those rooms are going to be. So, I mean, that's who I am, man. I'm no one who's ever chasing any notoriety, anything like that. I'm just always trying to be a good human being first. And then what comes from that, it comes.
That's dope, man. That's a great answer. I've always respected that about you, man. You've always set a good example for hip hop, for our race. You know what I mean? So that's a dope answer.
Absolutely.
So how do you define
Absolutely, man.
success?
Well, there's a few different ways I look at that. First of all, if someone is goal-based and you're knocking down goals that you're setting out for yourself, whether they're large or whether they're small, I consider that success. For me, I started to venture around this music and running a label and all this stuff, by matter of necessity. It was the way it was at the time. There wasn't any band camps, there wasn't any opportunity to really just distribute things that you make in without major distribution or even minor distribution that was still subsidiaries of major distribution houses. So su success for me snowballed in doing something and getting it placed as far as it could possibly go. You know what I mean? So whatever, whether it was record or a t-shirt or trying to land some production somewhere, it was just creating something from scratch and then seeing it get worked to its fullest capability. And then that became, a form of success for me. And then being able to be a honestly, man, being able to be a husband and a father is like the most successful thing I've ever done in my life. I've watched myself grow into the person that, I wish I had growing up. And so it's really, I see your relationship with your youngin', and like, I always just I take notes about the those are the things that draw me to humans.
Yeah,
It's
no
like,
doubt.
how is it, coming to shows and seeing you with your son and seeing you know, out there when, man, that is ultimate success. All this other stuff is just condiments to making sure that Cairo has the best opportunity and that, me and my wife are putting him in the best opportunity in life. And I mean, that might sound cliche, but no one ever really understands that until they have children. I would have never understood that until I had my own, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, and I was gonna ask a follow-up question just on how your definition of success had changed over time, but you just answered it. And just from social media, just from listening to your album, and he's the intro, just from like you can tell that you're a great dad and that you're dedicated to your family, I'm saying? Just from seeing you know what I'm saying? And you light up when you talk about them, and you make it a point to bring that up, you know what I mean? And so that's not as rare today, but it's rare, man. Like people are so concerned with themselves. And because that was one thing about me. I could have left, went to New York, worked with Ray. I could have went to Atlanta, worked with Jazzy Faye. I could have did a lot of different things, but my kids were playing Little League, man, and my son was running 4 and 5 touchdowns a game, and like I just don't want to miss that. It's not worth it to me, bro. And so I always said, if I have to work 10 times harder and stay here, then I'll just work 10 times harder. That's cool, you know what I mean? So but that was dope. So what drives you? 20 years plus in this thing. What's your drive, man?
I love it to death. I love it to death. I mean, I know that, like, I anytime I've ever tried to think like maybe I'll slow down or maybe I just won't do this or maybe it'll become even more of a hobby, it's just something inside of me that says, hey man, cut that machine on. Hey, buy that drum set, learn how to play those drums. Buy that trumpet, learn how to play that trumpet. So now that you can evolve in your musicianship, so when you're 50 and 60 and you don't necessarily want to run around on stage and rap in that capacity, you can sit down and different platform within music. I mean, I just really, really inside of me, there's a lot of things like, if it was up to me, man, I would have never rapped. I would have been like a soul singer. Like, I mean, Miles is a perfect example. The way his career is and things that he does, I mean, what he does musically is probably more in line to how I feel inside. You
Yeah,
know what I
no doubt.
mean? But that's not the chosen path for me.
Yeah.
And so the path that I have, I've just, you know, is very blue collar, man. It's like nobody sat down and showed me how to work the MPC. My boy Boss Stones showed me how to sample on it, but yeah. I had to sit down and learn how to figure it out. And I had to figure out how my favorite producers made the sounds they did. And then, yeah. you know, with DJing, you know, I have the best guys around have, you know, been my DJs or rocked with me, from G-Trains to Skews to, you know, we can go on and on down the line, Ross Reb. So, but I had to sit down and, you know, I paid attention to what they were doing, and I was a record collector, but I had to sit down and figure it out for myself, you know? Yeah. And so the desire to get better at that, and the desire to always just never embarrass myself musically, like try things, show people like the work, but then also put in the work to get better. And it's just something inside. I know people say stuff like that, but I mean, you know, how many times have you tried to put it up and you come right back? Cause it keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Or you hear something and you're like, I got to go downstairs and play those chords.
And you know what, man?
Just like, you have.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I don't know if you know, mm-hmm. but I retired this year. From production, like, and the reason being is kind of what you're saying is that wasn't happening for me anymore. I just mm-hmm. didn't care. That passion went away, and it's not a sad thing for me. Like, it's just I have other things that I want to do, other things that make me yep. do that. You know what I mean? And I really yep. think that's really mm-hmm. what, you know, should be your drive. Is if you don't feel that way about something,
yep.
do something else. You know? Bingo. I remember I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just get out of my sleep and go make beats, you know, just because something was sparked in me, or, you know, like yep. I really put in the time. But kind of going back to, you know, the spirit of, or not even the spirit, but being from the generation where we didn't have YouTube, you know, CD mm-hmm. Baby, TuneCore, whatever, like, where you really had, if you wanted your record to be in Rhode Island, you were going to have to get it
yep.
there. And that creates a different
yep.
type of person. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's mm-hmm. why so many from our generation ended up being great, is because that gives you a different type of hunger, you know?
Yep.
And I think this generation kind of suffers from that. You know, you don't, you know, they're very entitled, and they, you know, they feel like, and it's instant gratification on everything, you know? So it's like, I think the generation kind of suffers for that.
Yep.
But my partner was telling me, you know, this NFT thing that's coming around, might kind of mm-hmm. change things. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's like you can sell pieces of digital content and they can be originals,
yep.
right? Or one-ofs, or, yep. you know, so hopefully that type of thing might bring the grind back into it. Okay, so check this out. How has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success?
It's taught me a lot, man. Even when I, with my first record, like, I put that thing out as an EP independently, locally, and had great success for it. I was selling it out in a music store, everything like that. Then I licensed that record. A label out of New York wanted to sign me. We had just put our record out, so we weren't really ready to throw away. And at that time, it cost money. You know, like, you
Hell
couldn't
yeah.
press less than 1,000 CDs, and it was a commitment. Like,
Absolutely.
You were looking at a $5,000 to $10,000 commitment just to have something duplicated, like
yeah.
the right way, by how they were, you couldn't do 30 CDs at a time, wasn't probable. And if the company that did it, it wouldn't be quality work. So we had put a lot of money in, and we had just put the product out. So it wasn't like we were ready to just scrap it and go to a new record. We weren't
yeah.
there. I didn't work that fast at the record on the national stage. Wasn't as successful as it should have been, and not because of anything that I did or that the music was this great. It was just what they had done with every project they had released it would have, if it would have got worked the way they had worked all the other stuff, it would have fell right in line, you know, just because we had already done the groundwork. And then they kind of, that was my breaking point of like, I'm not going to keep pushing this. And then going forward with it, how do I envision it going, you know? And so out of that tiny success came a huge failure, a huge blow creatively into the ego and to all of that. And then from that came a career.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it really showed me like, what I needed to do.
That's dope, man. And, you know, that's part of this show is me trying to make a point. 16, 30 people in, you know, you people are going to start to see a pattern, right? That, you know, things like failure, things like perceived failure, right?
Exactly.
Can be the thing that propel you into to where you're supposed to be. You know, perspective, bingo. You know, like everybody that I've brought on this show thus far has this unique resilience or you know, this unique ability to just take these things and use them for good. And then, you know, now look at you, you know, like, so that's dope. Okay, so if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Whoa. Gigantic billboard anywhere, and what would it say and why? It would probably say, honestly, man, it would be our video tagline. It would probably say, Datura Records, art and impact. And the reason why it would say that is you can take anything from that that you want. Our mission statement with it is that we create art to impact not only our lives, but to impact the lives of the listener. And so I think, you know, that's ultimately what I've been chasing as a human being and what I've been chasing as a creative is like that feeling. And it doesn't matter what, like you said, you stepped away from production because the feeling wasn't the same. I've always told myself with emceeing that when the feeling isn't there, I'm not going to rhyme anymore. And it's evolved more into the music aspect. So I'm getting the feeling that I got from hearing great MCs and great beats now playing the drums or learning some other aspects of music, which allow me to apply it to rhyming or allow me to apply it to production. And I get to edit through my, so, you know, the whole point of our tagline is just that, insert or whatever want is, you know, and there's some life come from, you know, objective is really honest, and you know, it might not connect to the heights of like a Jay-Z or somebody, but it can connect to where people within your community and your peer group want to talk to you. Yeah. And want to pick your brain about the things you've been doing. And that's, man, those are major successes, man. And that's the thing you were touching upon earlier with where music is for the youth now. There will be a shift where, you know, right now, you know, hip hop is the most popular music in the world. So everybody wants to participate because it's the funnest thing. And it's been like that for 15 years now.
Yeah.
And so in that you get a lot of things where people haven't had the time to really sit and churn it out before success comes their way.
Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of things don't stick like they used to, you know, but we always had stuff like that. It's just limited outlets. So only the best of the best really got presented, yeah. You know, or I mean, the most unique of the unique.
It's not like we didn't have Da Ha Da Ha, bro. Like we had horrible.
Bingo.
Like, we had horrible Tons. Records, bro. Like, yeah, no doubt.
Tons. And people we love made horrible records.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Icons made horrible records. You know what I mean? And so I think now, though, there's just a lot to sift through. And the things, it's still like it was before, like where it might have been a period of time where the East Coast dominated the sound. Then the West Coast dominated the sound. And then, you know, the South is having their run. And I think now in this digital world, the youth, there's trends and waves and stuff that people are on, and then that dominates for a moment. Like, yeah, we're all look like this, and well, then the next thing comes in, it's like, oh, we look like that, you know. And that's the new, you know, separation, segregation of things. But only a couple pieces from those movements really have the work and the guts and the things that stick to the ribs. And yeah, so
I say,
and then everybody else,
we have this conversation
in
nowadays.
Our day, they didn't have that outlet.
We have this conversation nowadays, mm-hmm, that I say the local artist doesn't really exist anymore, right? Because what made you local?
Yep.
Like, what made you local was your restriction, yep, to other places, you know? And your location doesn't really matter as much anymore. They're just kind of, the world's gotten smaller, you know. But, you know, Kendrick is a generational artist. You put him in any generation,
bingo,
he's dope. So
same result.
You know, so, okay. What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment,
ooh,
of time, energy, money.
Honestly, the best and most worthwhile investments we ever made was buying our house, becoming a homeowner. Honestly, you know, because first of all, what people are paying for rent now, what we were paying for rent, and the places we needed to rent for us to be able to do. My wife works from home. You know, I've often created and recorded from out of my home. So, you know, rooms were required in order for us to do that. Then you gotta look at the logistics of each room. Like, if my wife's up here doing her 9 to 5, how far I have to be away to be in here banging on drums and doing stuff like that, recording people, you know, all that stuff that you have to take into consideration. And you know, we were fortunate enough to buy a home from the homie, and he had already set it up. Like, I'm in the studio space now. He had already built it. And so it has ended up being a real gem for us. And financially, it was just, I can't imagine, like, paying rent, raising Kai, and you know, trying to be a freelance artist too.
Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
So
it's tough,
doing
man.
That was just logical. Yeah, man, it's hard. And so, you know, I definitely feel like that was, you know, when we bossed up on that was like a real smart decision. And, you know, it's going to turn around for us when we move to the next step. When, you know, when we move to the bigger home, this is only the equity, and this is only going to go up because of the care that we put into it, you know,
yeah,
the love that we put into it, and the things that we've done to make it better.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely going to be, and then musically, my first drum machine, the MPC 2000, that was the thing that created my first album that allowed me to get some notice. Well, my second album, the first one I produced, but allowed me to get some notice. And it took me out of Kansas and to almost every state in the United States, and, you know, across the border from, you know, Mexico to Canada to Europe, you know, over 7 times. So that little drum machine and the little ideas that I was creating in there gave me what has been my life to this point.
That's dope. You know, my first drum machine was a Boss DR660. I bought it for,
ooh, yeah.
And I bought it because, you know, I was on the streets real heavy, and
mm-hmm,
you know, I got shot the first time, right? So
that, you need to write a book, bro.
I'm working on it. But
yeah,
I was sitting down, man. I was bored. Like, my homies were still, mm-hmm, out there doing things, and I had my first son, and I watched,
mm-hmm,
him you know what I mean? Or I was with him when he was a baby. So it was like I needed something to keep me busy. And that little drum machine just kept me occupied. And it did. It changed my life. It changed actually the whole trajectory of my life. So I like that answer, man.
Yeah, it saved your life, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
It saved your
I
life,
believe it.
and you know,
You know, it's
yeah,
almost, you know, whatever that we'll get into that later. Okay, so look,
yeah.
what impact do you want to leave on the world?
I just want to leave, man. Right now, the state of the world, the state of human-to-human interaction is trash, man. Like, we're divided again. Like, we have so many powerful people, grandparents, parents, great grandparents, like that went through all of this so that we could have all of this stuff in front of us. And we're back to square one. Like, you know, we should be in the future right now. We should be having extraordinary leaps in humankind. And right now we're focused on what fucking color somebody is. Pardon my language. But
Nah,
you
you can
know
speak how you want, bro.
what I mean?
Absolutely.
We're focused.
Yeah.
We're focused on things that are so like why are we not treating our women better? Why are they not running the free world?
No
Because
doubt.
what men have accomplished isn't up to snuff. You know what I mean? So like if we were running a company and you and I were running the company into the ground, but we had the two people that were keeping it afloat and they just happened to be, you know, women, logic would say, replace these dummies. Move
Yeah.
them in and let's see if we can prosper. So I think, you know, my ultimate goal with and my family's goal has always been like, you know, we know where we're from, we know where we're trying to go, and we wear that on our sleeves and we're proud of that. But we're also trying to advance mankind and just be like, there's so much more we're missing out on with just dumb, insignificant, like you really hate somebody because of the color of their skin, because that's your family credo.
Yeah.
That's like, we don't get down like that over here, man. I don't care what color you are. Like if you're bringing something to the table, let's eat, you know? Let's build.
I don't know if you've ever seen the story that I share. Anytime it pops up, like in my memory on Facebook, I'll share it. But when I was 17, I was in YCAT, right? And they put me in a room with three skinheads, right? It was a four-man room, and I'm in there with three skinheads, right? One guy that's like the leader of the whole skinhead gang. One guy's like a soldier, and then there's like a new guy who's like a wannabe trying to get on, right? And the leader wouldn't talk to me for probably a couple months. He wouldn't even acknowledge me, right? And long story short, I'll just next time the story pops up, I'll share it. But me and that dude end up becoming friends, and we would talk, and I wouldn't judge him, he wouldn't judge me, we would just talk, right? And when it was all said and done, man, like I realized that this is how he was raised. If you were raised to eat boiled rats ever since you were born, and then you get to school and you bring a boiled rat, and everybody says, "Well, why the hell are you eating boiled rats? People don't eat boiled rats." It would be foreign to you, right? And that's what I
Bingo.
realized about that dude. He didn't know any better, and nobody was taking the time because everybody was always just taking their stance and being so combative. Like the political environment lately is exactly like that, where nobody's listening, everybody's just trying to get their point across, and it's turned into like a schoolyard fight, like between kindergartens. Like,
That's
no,
exactly what it is.
right? So and it is what it is, but I have that experience in my life, and so it's I can't always expect people to see things the way that I see them, you know. But yeah, I like that
It's
answer, man.
amazing what conversation can do, though, right? It's
Every
amazing when you
time.
sit down, like we've been talking about amongst ourselves, where there's no color separation there when we were coming up as musicians and hip hop artists. And then once we actually got in a room together, you're like, man, there's no difference, you know?
No,
Like
we have
we're all
way
chasing
more
the same thing.
similarities than differences, all of us, you know?
Bingo.
Like
Bingo.
the most racist redneck dude in the world wants the best for his kids in his heart, right? Like, just like you want the best for your kids, you know? He wants, you know, he wants his mother to be healthy. He wants, you know, like, we have way more similarities than differences. And you're right, man. Hopefully one day, you know, but honestly, bro, I think you are leaving that type of impact on the world by leading by example and the higher vibrations of your music, right? Like, you're not focusing on the negative energies in the world. You're focusing on the positive, and it makes people feel good. And like that's the type of impact you're leaving. There's, you know, I've been to your shows where, you know, there's all races in here. There's all types of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like, you're leaving that impact on the world. So that's dope. Okay. So in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
What new belief is being married. I've learned how to knock down a wall of, like, I didn't realize how much, you know, lack of trust I had in people, place, you know, people. And so, you know, being in a situation where the way I'm choosing to go about my relationship with my wife is, you know, to be completely honest and be an open book, because I feel like that's the only way that we can, good, bad, and ugly. You know what I mean? I mean, like, honestly, there's a lot of ugly in that, and there's a lot of things you don't want to hear. But in order for any relationship that I've ever had that's lasted, whether it's musically, friendship, or anything like that, we can tell each other exactly what it is, where it is, whenever. And so I've learned to open up a lot more. I've learned to just, like, trust in, like, who I am and who I'm trying to be, and put that into my life, and put that in, like, not have these separate chambers for things that I'm doing. Like, well, not that I'm a two-faced person or anything like that, but reserving certain things and only showing certain things to company. Like, you know, now I tell publicly, or, you know, privately, man, I am in conversations with my brothers, like, I love you, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you mean something to me. I make sure people know that. So I've allowed myself to be more vulnerable. My son has shown me everything with him is new. So it's pure. So all he's taking in is what he's being shown, you know? And so it's taught me to turn back the dial a little bit and just kind of watch his journey and not be completely so hands-on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sometimes you got to climb up on that thing and fall down for you to understand. Because if you never got the opportunity to climb up there and fall down, you weren't going to know that that's not the safest ground for you to be on. Yeah. And that's hard for me, because you just want to protect.
Yeah. Well, I listened to...
I'm slowly, but you're there.
Oh, this was...
No, you're good. You're good.
This is what I was going to say. I listened to this family on Clubhouse every morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay. All right, it's a man named Anil Gupta, his wife Meena Gupta, and their son Ajay Gupta, right? And Anil Gupta is one of the number one or top five relationship coaches in the world. They work a lot with Tony Robbins, and then Ajay works directly with the Dalai Lama on some projects, right? So they have this room that's about gratitude, mindset, and they always say, Anil always says, when it comes to your kids, the greatest gift we can give our kids is teaching them to deal with adversity, right? So they'll be able to go out into the world and function themselves. And he tells a story about what he did with his kids, right? One thing he did with them, because they're from London, he took both his kids, put them downtown London, and told them, get home, right? Now, he stayed close behind, but also when his kids turned 18, he told them, before you go to college, you're going to travel the world for a year, and you're going to figure it out yourself. And where you're going to stay, how you're going to pay for it, how you're going to get there. And both of his kids did that, you know. And when I tell you that this family is a living example of how we all should be, You know what I mean? Like, and they're making
Yes.
a huge effect on the world. So that I just wanted to pass that on, like, 'cause you're right. We do want to
Yes.
tend to hover, you know, and try to
Yep.
protect, but you know, this is a cruel world and we're not always going to be there. And if they don't know how to navigate, and if they don't know how to, you know, that's on us. 'Cause like you said, everything he's taking in is you know? I think one of the most
My wife
powerful
does a
things.
great job at that.
Yeah,
My wife does a
that's
great job
dope.
at that. Yeah, she does a great job of like, hey man, let him figure it out. You know,
Yeah.
she's I've learned a lot through that because she's well, I would have I thought our roles were going to be reversed
Yeah.
when he got here, and
Yeah,
you know,
nah.
just by our internal character, and like it's
Yeah.
actually been the opposite. You
Yeah.
know, it's been the
That's
opposite.
dope, man. That's
But
dope.
mothers always know, man. Mothers always know.
Of course. Of
They
course.
always know.
And
They
you
know.
know, just kind of going back to you saying about putting women more in power of a position, like we all know from our households who's
Bingo.
we all know that. Like we've known that our entire lives.
That's all
Everybody.
I know. Yep, that's all I know, man.
Right? So
I was raised by a strong black woman who made the decisions, and
yeah.
like, you know, and I see a lot of those strengths in my wife, and like her decision making and how she runs the household. And
Yeah.
it's not like it's not fake, and it's not that I'm not capable. And, you know, I've run plenty of households, and I'm definitely a strong partner. Like I bring a lot to the table, but there's just something innate in her that just the decisions she makes, I'm just like, damn, that's right on
Right.
consistently,
Yeah,
you
no
know,
doubt.
like, you know, so we know it's just embracing it. And I'm never the one, I'm not scared of that. It's not intimidating. I'm not
Yeah.
worried if like my wife makes more money than me, or I'm not worried if she's making more impactful decisions in our
Yeah.
household, because that doesn't matter. Because like
Yeah.
we're a team, and the ultimate goal is you know, quality of life. And so
Absolutely.
if someone innately has the ability to make the better play calls, let them call the plays, man. Get out
I
of the
call
way.
that being solution oriented, right?
Yeah.
That's solution oriented. We're on the same team. We have a goal. Let's, you know, if it, like on a track, if I can play the bass line, but I got James Jamerson sitting right here, like why the hell am I sitting over here messing around? Like just come knock this out right quick and let's just get it done, right? 'Cause the goal is the best
Bingo.
record possible, right?
Bingo.
Okay, so what advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world?
My advice to them would be listen, pay attention, and trust that feeling, that voice, that rumble in your stomach. Trust it. Like if it looks bad, feels bad, smells bad, it's probably bad. And don't let old traditions of like, you know, lace up your boots and push your way through. Man, that's not always the case, man. Sometimes you have to pay attention and survey the land, and where you thought you were going might not be the best position for you. So
No
keep
doubt.
your eyes and ears open, and there might be a spot that you least expected is where you fit best. And so my advice is like put a lot more, like we were just talking about on how he raises his family, put a lot more stock on what you actually know. A lot of people undermine the youth because they're like, oh, you don't know this, you haven't been there. Nah, man, sometimes a fresh set of eyes see it the best way possible.
No doubt. I love that answer, man. 'Cause you're right. Your gut knows, and you
It
know
does.
the ego is your mind. See, your mind isn't actually who you are. That's your brain running actual patterns and electrical patterns. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a whole scientific thing, but that gut that he's talking about, that's who you really are, and that's
It
who you
is.
listen to. You know, so I think that's great advice. So in the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to? Distractions, invitations, etc.
I've become better at saying no to all things,
Okay.
because I used to spread myself thin and just being the person that is willing to go above and beyond for any situation, even if it's not in anyone's best interest. You know, it might not be, and I might need to sleep at that period of time, so it's not in my best interest to go do that. Or I might be, you know, yada yada down the line. It might not be in my best interest to go help somebody do this while my family's waiting to go somewhere. You know what I mean? I used to overextend a lot. It might not be in my interest, best interest, to try to mix five projects just because I want, you know, I want what's best for all the artists involved. Sometimes you just have to be hands off and put the same amount of trust that they have in me, I have to put in them. You know, it's like, if I don't get up and do it, it isn't going to get done. So you need to have that same aesthetic. Like, if you ain't going to get up and do it, I'm not going to be here to pick it up for you, you know? And I'm fortunate enough, like Milk Drop's a person that I work with closely. And that man never has a problem picking up the ball and running. He's like, oh, you can't. I'll learn how to engineer myself. Oh, I can do the artwork. I'll figure it out. And so it's like, you just like we talked about with our kids, just like in life, family, friends, you know, people you're mentoring, children. It's always good to just like have a point where you're like, you got it. I'll be here to help you tighten the screws, but you can go ahead and build that. And when you run against the wall, I'm here to back you up. So I've learned that I can't take on everything, even if I want to, because I try to be a big hearted person. And a lot of times that's not because it needs to be. I don't do things to receive from others, but a lot of times the stuff you do when you need from others, they're not there for you that way. So it's taught me to pick and choose and just be, you know, be more respectful of my own time, of my family's time, of the time that I dedicate to my job, like, you know, appreciate that. So I've learned to just take on tasks that I can give my full attention to.
That's dope. Great answer, man. Has there been any approaches that have helped? Like, is it just, I mean, because, you know, a lot of these times we're saying no to people that we really genuinely care about, like, or that we, you know, we want to see, you know, and it becomes hard for people to say no. Like, do you have an approach that you take, or is it just simply knowing the person and kind of dealing with them where they're at?
A lot of times it helps with small tasks. So small tasks that are the easiest things to knock out. Sometimes, you know, it's easier to have somebody else do it for you or have a hand in doing that. But then when you take the small tasks where there's the least amount of like major complication and just allow somebody to do that, we're like, hey man, can you do this? Or I have this one song, can you mix this for me real quick? And I'm like, why don't you send me the mix? Why don't you balance it? Send me the stems, and then I can spruce up whatever's there, because then I don't have to sit there and do the editing. I don't have to make sure all these things are done. You know what I mean? And I can just go in there and I can put that fresh paint on it.
Yeah. I dig that.
So I can go in, I can do things.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say, so like we got a little delay, so every time I start talking, it's like second. So, but, no, essentially, you know, you do the dirty work, and I'll help you with, you know, the polish on it. I like that, man.
Bingo. Bingo. And when you do that, though, you empower people. And so many people, I mean, even people like I remember DP Beats came to me just to you know, and I mean that I still owe that brother some mixes, because he came and we sat down and he had some stuff tracked out, and I just kind of one or two times just showed him like some of my methods of mixing, and now look at that dude. He just ran with it. It wasn't even like a conversation, and he came in like any other artist and put his bread up, and he's just and that's family, that's the homie. You know what I mean? And he came in, saw what he needed to see, and was out of there. Like, just like, oh, I got it. It was like
he's been like that with me the whole time too, bro. I love that brother.
Bingo.
He's really like, he's one of those dudes that in this younger generation I kind of see as being from our tribe, you know, from that kind of that old soul and doing things the old way, and you know, even
he's special,
his show,
man. He's special.
Even this show is really dope.
It is, man. And that's the kind of the thing, man. It's just like he saw a couple things and he was like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need any more. And he's like, and you know, and in constant conversation with him, he's just like, he'll get to me when he needs me. You know what I mean? And but that's just the success of, like, milk is another example. It's just the success of somebody having a small task, and then they see, like, oh man, I got this, and then it usually snowballs into something to where, like, now a lot of people, I'm just mastering their work. They don't even need me for the mix because they figured out how they want to sound. They're like, oh, I just sat there and played with it, and now I know how to make sound. And so all you have to do is just make sure my levels are right. And so that's just a small example of, like, the no. It's not just like I say no, it's just like, here, empower somebody to fish for themselves. And then when they fish for themselves, they realize it tastes so much better.
And then you don't
When they
need to
cook that
say
fish
no.
up, they're like, oh man. Yeah. And then you know what I mean? And it's the same way in my job as a supervisor. It's the same way I work with people. I'm people first. I work for the University of Kansas and I have their best interests in mind, but I care more about the people doing the task than I care about just having their best interests in mind. So I invest all my energy and my thought into making sure that the people can do, they have everything they need to complete their tasks. And then that way, the work level is exceeding what the university could ever expect. You know what I mean? And so I always, and you know, and I don't supervise with, like, I'm never going to be a person that discourages people in order to get the result that they want. I'm always going to tell them where their strengths are, where they are really shining. And then in that, you're empowering somebody to push themselves even further. They're like, oh, well, you think that's something? Wait until you see me do this.
And
And
see,
then the
that's
next thing you
dope,
know,
man. You've said empower, and you've said, your focus is more on giving, to other people, man. And I'm a firm believer that the secret to living is giving, right? If you give authentically, then, everything that you need for yourself, God, the universe just kind of takes care of it. So kudos to you, 'cause that's another way that you're leading by example, man. And as a young black man, and just a young man period, because I honestly hate that label, but like as
Yes,
a
true.
young man, like
True.
you're leading by example, bro, and that's so dope. Like that's why I had to get you on the show, because I see these things, And oh, go ahead.
We got enough talk. We got enough talkers, man. We got enough people in our lives that tell us this and that and know everything that you should do, but they haven't done for themselves. So it's like, I don't need to tell anybody anything because I don't know anything. All I'm out here trying to do is, like, okay, if this sewer needs to be unclogged, let me put my hands in there and unclog it. And if the method that I use can help somebody else, show them what I did.
No
And
doubt.
then they come back to you with, like, oh man, if you go this way, this just pops on out. And then, and then it's the telephone effect. Then by the time it comes full circle, man, you're cleaning these things with no problem. You're just knocking them out. And so that's what it's about. People have told me every this, that, and the other on how to be whatever I want in music. But, like, I didn't learn anything until somebody empowered me to do for myself. And they're like, man, turn that machine on. Like, lay that bass line, play those chords. And like my buddy Boss Tone, man, he was always like, man, you can do this. Just sit. And when I sat down and dedicated myself to, and then come and drop a gem for me. Or I would see Tony Gaines in the studio and I would just watch and I go, ah, or Jock Max would do something. I watch and use my ears, or Jay Dilla would do something. And so I'm trying to be that way. And my son shows me so much stuff. I bought a trumpet. I couldn't really get anything out of it because I had too much in my head about how to do it. My son walked up to it and just blew into it and got something out of it. And
That's
he's two and,
awesome. Yeah,
you know what I
that's
mean? And
awesome.
so then I
That's
was like, oh, just blow into it. Don't worry about it.
that's a good metaphor for a life period. Just blow into it, man. I like
Bingo,
that.
man. Just blow into this. It's a lot of things.
It'll come back.
Did y'all lose me?
Well, you roboted, so I couldn't really hear you. But so look, me and you can sit here and talk all day. I got two more
Bingo.
questions for you, and we'll get on up out of this thing.
Exactly. I'll definitely wrap it up. I know my family wants me to come eat.
I know that's right. Okay, so when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do?
Step back. I step back, and for me, the best way to do that is usually, even if I have a deadline, I'll just, whether it's for a client or even at work, I'll step back and just kind of shut it down for a second, because that means for me, I need to recalibrate. And it's not like put it on hold or do anything like that, whether it be a couple of hours, whether it be a day, I just step out of the situation. And a lot of times it's something as simple as like getting outside with my son, or going somewhere, or going record shopping and just looking, just the things that I really enjoy that center me, playing records, just center me and then allow me to come back. It's how I dodge writer's block. It's like if I know I don't have anything to write about, I just make a bunch of music. If I don't have a bunch of music to make, I write some songs. If I'm really lost, I look up on YouTube. Old recording techniques or old live studio footage or old live shows, just the things that have always stirred me and pushed me, even in the workplace, those the music side of it still stimulates me to go into work with a new set of eyes on how I'm doing stuff, because it all fires the same for me. So I can watch Fela and his band perform, then I can go give my performance reviews. You know what I mean? So it's
Just
just those kind
stepping
of things.
back.
So I put a lot into mental and physical health and just taking a step back. And sometimes, man, the world's not gonna stop if somebody's gotta wait. Sometimes they have to wait. I have to wait. You've had to wait. Sometimes you have to wait. But what you're gonna get when you wait is gonna exceed anything that you ever expected from me.
And you don't want anything but my best, right? Like, and I'm not conditioned to give anything but my best. So if I'm
Bingo.
not able to give that, then you're right. You're just gonna have to wait, bro. Like, because that's what you come to me for,
Yep.
you know? Okay, so
Bingo.
last question.
Bingo.
Which
Absolutely.
I know for people like us, this question is always hard, right? But what's your all-time favorite song, or what song would be the soundtrack to your life?
Oh, man. That's a great question. The soundtrack to my life would probably be 93 to Infinity by Souls of Mischief.
Okay. Is there anything in
And
particular about that song?
the sample that A Plus chose to use from Billy Cobham, a drummer, the melody within that sample is the reason why Stevie Wonder's music affects me the way it does, is the reason why Prince's music affects me the way that it does. It's the reason why Bob James' music affects me the way that it does. It gives me a feeling that instantly transports me back to the period of time in which I first heard it. And that period of time in life was so good, and such, I was so naive and such at a developmental stage that it just pushed me to want to do this. And then fast forward 10 years later, I'm touring Europe as their opening act. And so there's something about that it was just like, these guys make me want to do what ended up becoming my life's work. And then I had worked hard enough to be put in a position to thank them face to face.
Man, that's dope, man.
And so
That's
there will
dope.
always be that it will just, I mean, I know it's a huge hit for them, and it's become, well, now I know it's evolved into this thing, but what it was and what it sparked in me changed my whole life. And then in that, I developed a brotherhood, and that never happens, man. Like, what Off the Wall is to me, Off the Wall is my favorite album ever. And like, but I don't have a chance to sit with those musicians and like talk to them about why they did the things that they did. You know what I mean? And like, to have a song affect me and an album affect me like that, and then have a chance to grow. I mean, I'm moved out to the Bay. I've been around those dudes. I actually interviewed Festo for my show last night. So we don't often get that. We don't often get something that changes our life, and then we get to talk to the people on a personal level. Like, I'm in the van with them. Like, that's family. I spent, 31 days of my life with my heroes.
That
You
is
know?
so dope, man. From a
It's
young
crazy.
Kansas kid, man, and it comes, to the moral of the story is, man, take action, be fearless, get back up, do it for the right reasons, follow your gut, follow your passion, man. Approach, man, you're such a dope person, bro, and thank you for your contribution,
Appreciate it,
man,
man.
and thank you for your discipline and your dedication. Thank you for your example, bro. I'm so happy for you, at the place that you're at right now. Send love
Appreciate
to
it,
your
man.
beautiful family, bro.
I will. I will.
So thank you again, and hats
Yeah,
off to
man.
you, sir.
Absolutely. And before we leave, man, I just want to say, to all, young men and women that look like I do and look like you do, remember, when we walk in a room, we're not only representing ourselves, unfortunately, we're carrying the weight of what everybody perceives us to be. And always talk, conduct, and get your point across the way you would want somebody to talk, conduct, and get their point across to you. So don't come in with those airs. Come in with the mission that you're trying to accomplish, and make sure that you do nothing to sacrifice the goal or the mission. And that doesn't matter what platform or what anybody else thinks, because ultimately you are opening up opportunities for us. And in those opportunities you open for us, will change the diaspora and change, it'll change the clock and allow us to actually tell our stories.
Dope. That's very powerful, man. Thank you, man. Have a great night, homie.
Too, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Peace.
Bye. What